Gospel, chapter 14, the first six verses, as Jesus speaks to his disciples and comforts them. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Our second reading comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, just two verses, 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Dana, and welcome again, everybody. Let me remind you of those verses from Matthew's Gospel. There'll be a Bible in front of you where you can find them. Matthew chapter 7, enter through the narrow gate, says Jesus, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What direction is your life taking? Where are you headed? When I head out of my driveway onto the street, I come to a T intersection, and I have to decide which way I'm going. My default is to turn right. I follow the traffic. The difficulty is most of the time that works, and so it reinforces the bias. It's those times, however, when you're halfway to Castle Hill and you suddenly remember that Galston was your destination. Where are you headed? What direction is your life taking? With an economy of words, Jesus paints a simple word picture for us, raising the question, what direction are you taking? Notice, though, he assumes that we're already taking a road. That's not the question. The question is, what road are you on and where is it headed? Now, we're jumping in for context to a section of Matthew's Gospel. What's that? That's his account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. We're in chapter 7, and in this part of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is bringing his famous Sermon on the Mount to a close. You might know the Sermon on the Mount, even if you don't know where it comes from. Go the extra mile, love your neighbour, turn the other cheek, do unto others. And as Jesus brings this rightly famous sermon to a close, he's going to present us with a series of forced choices. This week, we're looking at two roads. Next week, we're going to consider two builders, one wise, one foolish. From different angles, Jesus continues to make the same point, and his question really boils down to this: are you with me? Will you follow me? And today, in just a few short words, the master storyteller, he tells a story about two roads symbolizing the direction of your life. The first road, it's wide, it's comfortable, it's popular, it's the people's choice. The second is one far less traveled, narrow, less popular. And yet, because these symbolic roads lead to dramatically different destinations, in love, Jesus warns us, indeed he pleads with his listeners, enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. It would be easy to miss the extraordinary news being announced here. It might be narrow, few may seek it. But notice in his kindness that our loving God has made a way. There is a way. It might be narrow. Nevertheless, a way has been opened for rebellious, sinful people like us to turn back. We prayed that in our prayer of confession earlier. We didn't use the language of turning back. We said repent. But it means the same thing. And here, instead of receiving due penalty for the shabby way that we've treated God and our neighbours, as a free gift, Jesus invites anyone who'll listen to receive a radically new future, peace with God, reconciliation with your Maker, adoption into his family, the forgiveness of sins. All this available to anyone who'll turn back, says Jesus, to those who'll put their trust in him by taking the narrow road. And I want to say to you at the beginning of what will be a new year, regardless of how many times you've heard this, I want you to consider again God's goodness to us as we reflected upon it in the Christmas season. That is, while we were still his enemies, God was hard at work as his Son came into the world to save sinners. That single-minded goal of opening the narrow way. And so Jesus, his instruction, enter through the narrow gate. Notice too, though, after the instruction, Jesus adds a loving warning. Enter through the narrow gate. There's the instruction. Now the warning. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Mark Twain once said, whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to pause and reflect. Whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to pause and reflect. I think we can admit there's a certain comfort, isn't there? We talk about safety in numbers when everybody agrees with you. Having said that, going along with the majority doesn't make you right. Nor does agreeing with the majority make you wrong. A majority just means that everybody agrees, that's all. And that's Mark Twain's point. Whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it's time to pause and reflect. Now, while minority conspiracy theories might turn out to be rubbish, it's equally possible that majority opinion can be staggeringly wrong. Did you know, before seatbelts were compulsory in the United Kingdom, which was only a few decades ago, 60% of people, passengers and drivers, elected not to wear them. And researchers were baffled by this. They could not work out why people would do this. And so they asked, and they got a common response. It goes like this. If you can understand the logic, I'd love you to tell me over morning tea. This is what a lot of people said. Seatbelts don't prevent accidents. So why would you wear them? That sounds a lot like natural selection to me, don't you think? Seatbelts don't prevent accidents. That's true. So why would you wear them? It's a false conclusion, isn't it? It's a special brand of logic. But here's the thing. Going with the majority and being wrong about seatbelts, well, that might cost your life. That's bad enough. But going with the crowd and missing out on the kingdom of heaven, that's a catastrophe. And so Jesus warns us, enter through the narrow gate. For, here's the explanation, wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Jesus speaks with the exact directness you would expect for an emergency situation, and that's what this is. Everything is flashing red because eternal futures are at stake, but you'd barely know it because it takes no effort to travel the broad road. No one will persecute you. You'll find it comfortable. It's accommodating. It's appealing. And perhaps best of all, on the broad road, you are free to follow the desires of your heart. And who doesn't want that? But before you sign up, some terms and conditions reveal a downside you may not have considered. Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Now, whether you realize it or not, the broad road leads to a destination worth avoiding But instead of focusing on the destination, the sad fact is most people center their attention on the journey. Am I comfortable? Am I happy? Am I fulfilled? Or in the modern language, have I become my authentic self, whatever that means, all the while oblivious to the emergency on the horizon. Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction. That's a shorthand. God's judgment is on the horizon. His settled hostility to human evil. And it's avoidable. Here is one of those occasions where the majority gets things badly wrong, and so out of love, Jesus speaks plainly that people would avoid the eternal destruction of hell. Wide is the gate, broad is the road that leads to destruction. But, verse 14, small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Many of you will have seen, indeed many of you will have been aboard the Airbus A380, the largest passenger aircraft the world has known. It's a stunning, if not particularly attractive machine, if you're into that kind of thing. But before it was released, like all commercial aircraft, it needs to pass a series of safety tests, thousands of them. And one of them involves the emergency evacuation. Now, to pass, every aircraft, regardless of size, every passenger aircraft must be emptied safely. You can't just throw people off. It's got to be emptied safely in 90 seconds. Now, at its maximum, nobody flies it this way, but at its maximum, that aircraft will take 873 people, plus crew. So what have we got, 900 people? You do the maths with me. 900 people, you got 90 seconds. I think we can agree that's a narrow gate. And by the way, when they do this test, not only have you got to get those 900 odd people off in 90 seconds, you do it in the dark. And you can only use one side of the aircraft. That's a challenge, isn't it? Now, obviously, you know, the A380 passed, and, you know, if you really want, you can watch the testing on YouTube. I find it interesting. I don't know what that reveals. But here's the key. Here's the key. There are three factors that make this possible, at least. I've counted three. The first one is so obvious it goes without saying, but because it's so obvious it needs to be said. How can you get that many people off an aircraft that size? Well, firstly, there's got to be an exit, doesn't there? Let's not gloss over that. There has to be a way out, narrow though it might be. The second thing that makes it possible is that somebody knows the way. The final one might be the most complicated of all, though really it's not. It's actually incredibly straightforward. People simply need to follow the instructions, don't they? Leave your baggage behind. You won't need it. Jesus knows where to find the emergency exit because he came into the world to make the narrow way possible. Indeed, he made it possible through the shedding of his own blood, no less. Yet, tragically, few people accept the invitation. Verse 14, small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Now, it's possible here that someone might assume that Jesus has made the narrow gate difficult to find. Not true. If you've got your Bible open at Matthew chapter 7 and you glance back just a few verses, you'll be able to finish the sentence for me. Jesus says, to those who will turn to him, seek and you will find. The narrow way is not hard to find. It's not difficult. It's just that most people refuse to look, preferring instead the comfort of the broad road. And I need to say to you today, if that's you, Jesus urges you to reconsider your destination. So turn back while you still can. But in a context like this, where I'm sure many of you have already resolved to travel the narrow road, what we take from this is slightly different. You've heard Jesus' emergency instruction. You've received his gift of forgiveness. You're trusting in him for your salvation. You're waiting for him to return. That being so, the issue for a disciple becomes one of perseverance. How do we stay on the narrow road? What guardrails can we put up to make sure that we remain focused on the destination? And I think the first step is to admit just how attracted we are to the broad road. That's why parts of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount will often hit a raw nerve. It's uncomfortable when Jesus exposes our tendency towards lust and anger and self-righteousness. According to Jesus, he doesn't use this language, but what he's describing are our default settings. But in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching disciples. He's talking to people who've already turned to him. And so the challenge for his disciples is to bear in mind that we can just be so forgetful and so easily distracted, to say nothing of the fact that we have an enemy who is constantly enticing us to dabble with the wide road as if there'll be no consequence. From my observation, after more than a decade in ministry, when I see people walk away from the narrow road, very rarely, in fact, I can't think of a single occasion where people have walked away and given up from Jesus in a single decision. Very rare. I can't think of an occasion. More commonly, it's the small compromises that build up over time. It's the small decisions to put the broad road first as people drift from Jesus, slowly at first. And that's why all of us need the constant, ongoing, week-in, week-out encouragement of together, God's family gathered, sitting under the loving authority of the Lord Jesus, because his word is the corrective. His word is the guardrail. And we need the courage to ask one another on some occasions, how are you really travelling on the narrow road? If we stay on the narrow road by deliberately placing ourselves under the corrective of God's word, they are the guardrails in community. So where are you headed? Because I remind you, we're all travellers. Jesus assumes that you're on a road. The question he's asking is, where are you headed? And so on the cusp of a new year, it's a good reminder, isn't it? Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. How tragic. But small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Let me pray. You'll know these words from Psalm 119. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path. And so, Father, having heard the word of the Lord Jesus this morning, we pray that your Spirit would allow that word to sink deep into our hearts and that we would honestly evaluate the direction in which we've been headed. For those who've been drifting, wake us. For those who've been persevering, encourage us. For those on the broad road, expose us. And for all of us, Father, we thank you that in your kindness, while we were still far off, the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners such as us. So, Father, may it please you that we would enter through the narrow gate. For Jesus' glory we pray. Amen.